Welcome. For those of you guys who haven't been here, we're doing a series through the book of John talking about living the life. What does it mean? What is true life? What is true life? And where we've been, for those here last week, David started on chapter 10. He wants to really jump into chapter 10 and do a three-week series on it. So I'm actually skipping ahead to chapter 11. So hope everybody's okay with that. We're not quite going in order. So, but today it's pretty cool. Today we get to experience perhaps the most dramatic and powerful of all of Jesus's miracles that he's done, which is saying a lot because he does a lot of them that we see in the Gospels. So we're getting into perhaps the most dramatic and powerful of them, and this one creates quite a stir in a lot of different ways. And essentially we're starting to transition in the book of John through this miracle while Jesus transitions from out there teaching and doing miracles in the public to where he transitioned into Jerusalem, into his final time with his disciples and the time leading up to his death. So that's what we're getting into now. And today we're talking about the trials of faith. And in that, we're talking about timing. All of you guys know timing is everything. If you're married, you know that well. It can make a good thing bad or a bad thing good, depending on the timing. So quick joke, this patient comes in to visit with his doctor, and the doctor says, okay, sit down, buddy. I'm sorry, but I've got some good news, I've got some bad news and some even worse news to deliver to you. And the patient says, okay, all right, let's have it. Let's just start with the bad news. And the doctor says, well, the bad news is you only have 24 hours to live. And the patient's freaking out, says, doctor, that's the bad news. What could be possibly any worse than that? And the doctor said, I'm sorry, sir. I was supposed to tell you that yesterday. Okay. So we're looking into the miracle, and we're getting into the when, why, and what of the miracle that Jesus does, raising Lazarus from the dead here. And we're going to spend this week looking at when Jesus does that, because that's important. And next week, looking into more of the what and why, dealing with the same scripture section. But this week, we're focusing on the when, because when Jesus chooses to step out and perform this miracle is interesting and unusual and kind of alarming, honestly, when you first read it. But God's always got a purpose and a plan. So if you guys want to turn with me, we're going to read John 11, 1 through 44. Again, it's a long one. And Sherry's going to read that for us. So pray for her. It's a long section.
John 11, verses 1 through 44. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going back there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go.
Good job, Sherry. That was a long one. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word, that it is truth and that it is life, Father. And I just pray that you would incline our hearts to you this morning, Father God. Give us ears to hear what you are speaking to us, Father. And I just pray that you would draw our hearts, Lord, to see your purpose and your plan and the beauty and glory of it, Father. And just draw our hearts to fall more in love with you, the author and creator. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, So the setting that we're in here is in chapter 10. Basically, Jesus has been going around and ticking off all the Jews. He was just in Jerusalem, and he was talking to them, basically claiming his deity. In one instance, telling him that he and God are one, and another time that he is in God and that God is in him. So the Jews one time tried to stone him, and the second time they tried to arrest him. And after that, Jesus left Jerusalem, and he actually went up north to an area by the Jordan River, and there he was basically teaching anybody who would come to him in that spot. So that's where he is when we start off the text. And then we see this messenger arrive from Mary and Martha saying that Lazarus is sick. And this is the first time we get to see them in the Gospel of John. In Luke 10, Jesus goes to Mary and Martha's house and is fellowshipping with them and teaching them. And so they were good friends of Jesus and followers of Jesus, all of them were. And so that's kind of where we're at here. So they send their sister send a messenger and tell them that Lazarus is sick. And presumably they're asking basically for Jesus to come and heal them. And in response to this, Jesus says that this sickness will not end in death, but this has happened for the glory of God, so God can be glorified through it. And if you just jump back a page or so in your Bible, in John 3, we see about the same thing when we meet the blind man in John 3, and the disciples ask him, why was this guy born blind? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus said, neither, but so that the glory of God might be displayed through him, the works of God might be displayed in him. So we see this theme again coming up again, that Lazarus' sickness, like this blind man, is for the reason that it happened is so that God might get glory from it. And the difference this time, one of them we see is this time, a part of it is the glory of the Son of God too. So now Jesus throwing him into it too, claiming deity. So essentially this is a prayer from Mary and Martha for healing for Lazarus. They're reaching out to Jesus saying, Lord Jesus, please hear my prayer and heal my brother. No different than, I mean, they had Jesus physically back then so they could send a messenger. It'd just be like us sitting down today and praying to God. It's the same type of thing. They're praying for God because they know God cares about Lazarus. They know Jesus cares about him. And they're going to see, okay, how's Jesus going to respond? You see, they're in a trial of faith right now. Their brother is sick. And they say, oh, Jesus heals. We'll send out a message to Jesus. He'll get it and he'll come down and he'll heal him. So they've got this trial of faith, but it's not a dramatic trial of faith because they know Jesus can heal. So now we get into the second part of this. And it's that Jesus' response will not always be what we think it should be. And verse 5 is kind of where the story gets interesting, because it says, now Jesus loved Mary and Martha, or Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So Jesus loved them. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days in the place where he was. So you're like, what? So he loved them. So he didn't go and heal Lazarus. What's up with that? What's going on here? Okay, so he loves them, so he doesn't. They say like, but Jesus still loved them. No, so he loved them. Because of his love, he stayed 2 days where he was at before coming to him. So why? Why didn't Jesus just go to him immediately? Or Jesus could have said, Lazarus be healed. And Lazarus is healed right then and there. He could have done it. He's done it before. So we have this delay. And you know Mary and Martha are at home just kind of like, Jesus, anytime would be great. He's not getting any better now. So they're probably stressing. Their trial of faith is getting deeper and deeper and deeper and wondering what's going on. I don't want to take you to one verse in here, back to Isaiah 55. It'll be on the screen up here too. But Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. And have you ever been in that spot where you put out this prayer and you're kind of like, okay, God, answer it now. I mean, financial, whatever it is, a baby, healing, whatever it might be. God, where are you? I mean, come on, I prayed. I did what I was supposed to do. Now it's your job. So Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Praise God they are. You see, God's plan and purposes is not ours. Praise God, because if they were, it'd be a mess. This whole earth would be a mess. We can never demand an answer from God. We can't rush God. We can't push him, because God's timing is his own. And we're that society. I mean, we're the fast food society. And sometimes we treat God like fast food. Like, God, I need my sister healed. I need some more money. Could you help me at work? And supersize that with a burger and fries. And that's how we come to God. And we're like, okay, this is what we need. Okay, thanks, God. See you later. And we drive through the drive-thru. And we keep going with life. And God's not like that. God is not fast food. And we don't need fast food. If you've ever eaten at McDonald's when you're in a rush, I was late running around at work and didn't have time to eat lunch one day, and I stopped at McDonald's and got a dumb idea. I felt sick afterwards. It wasn't a good idea. It wasn't healthy. And in the same way, sometimes immediate, quick responses from God aren't healthy for us either. God's got a bigger plan. God's timing is always perfect. It's always planned, and it always has a specific purpose. And sometimes we'll get that and understand it, and other times we will not. But it's always healthy. So, we see this two-day delay in here. And then after 2 days, Jesus comes to his disciples and said, let's go to Judea again. Let's go back there. And the disciples are like, huh? Jesus, remember flashback? They were trying to stone you. They were trying to arrest you. And you want to go back there? Probably not a good idea. And Jesus' response is basically, we have to do God's will while it's daylight, while it's time to work. That's when we need to be about doing God's will. And then he tells them the purpose for their trip. Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going to go and wake him up. And the disciples are like, okay, well, that's easy. We can do that. Great. But Jesus has always got a double meaning in there, and so he tells them plainly, look, guys, he's just dead, okay? So you get it. He's dead. And the disciples don't get it again. And you know, Jesus has just got to be like, come on. But they're like, the disciples say, okay, well, we'll just go and die with Jesus. Because he says, I'm going to go to Lazarus. So they think he means we're going to go to Lazarus in the place of the dead. Jesus has always got other plans. So they don't get it either. And now for the disciples, they've got a trial of faith too. Because they're wondering, okay, where's the healing happening? Why are we going to see Lazarus if he's dead? But also, man, I'm worried about my safety. We're going to a place where they're seeking to kill us. So Jesus goes down and he arrives in Bethany. And by the time he gets there, Lazarus has already been in the grave for four days. You see, he didn't fly. He couldn't take a train. He was walking. It was a long trip. So 4 days, when he gets there, Lazarus has already been in the grave for 4 days. And there's a big funeral gathering at the time, like they did in those days, and we'll get into that more next week. But so that's what Jesus comes into, is this big funeral gathering, basically, for him. And Martha learns that Jesus is near, and she comes out to meet Jesus. And in this exchange that we see with Jesus, we see that she doesn't understand Jesus' timing either. And she's frustrated, and she actually even blames Jesus, saying, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You see, all this delay was probably, I mean, that was a trial of faith for her. That was probably killing her, waiting for Jesus. She doesn't understand what is going on here. Mary comes out then. We see a little bit after that. And Mary comes and asks the same and says about the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So they're not understanding God's plan and his timing and what he is doing. And we see among the crowd here, there's questioning. They're blaming him. If you look in there later, they're saying, could not he who have opened the eyes of the blind man also kept this man from dying? So again, they're wondering, what's going on? Everybody's basically think, okay, Jesus has let the situation get out of control. I mean, he's just waited too long, and now this whole thing's out of control. I don't know if you parents have ever done this. One thing I like doing sometimes is I'll like rest my hands while I'm driving and I'll drive with my knee. Ever done that, parents? And it was fun when the kids were young. I'd like do that, drive with my knee and let my hands on. I'm not promoting this, but I'm just sharing honestly. But I drive with my knee and I'm like, how are they doing it? Like, oh, the car's a transformer. it's driving itself. And the kids were freaking out. I mean, when they got it, they're like, he's not holding the wheel. Mom, tell him to grab the wheel. Mom, tell him to grab the wheel. We're going to crash. And they were panicking because they didn't understand that I was in control, or at least I thought I was, unless I came to a big curve. But they didn't understand I had control. They just couldn't see me having control. And in the same way, these people could not see that God had any control of the situation. They thought it had all gone out of control and everybody was panicking. And then we see this variety of emotion from Jesus. And we'll go into that next week because we don't have time into it this week. But then we transition and Jesus is taken over to the tomb where Lazarus was. And he says, roll away the stone. And again, immediately people are freaking out like, this is not a good idea. This is going to go downhill really badly if we take away that stone. So again, there's questions on his plan, on his timing, thinking he's really gone letting things get out of control here. And this is where their trial of faith comes to a climax. I mean, ultimately, all in this moment, everybody's wondering, what's going on? What is he doing? What's happening here? And then that's where Jesus steps in, and he prays to God. And then again, he says his purpose in all of this, so that you would believe and see the glory. Didn't I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And again, in his prayer to God, he says, that they might believe that you sent me. We see his plan and his purpose with all that. And then with his power and with this drama, we see him declare, Lazarus, come out. And in this dramatic climax, we see Lazarus, the guy that everybody thought was long gone and dead, emerging from the tomb. And this trial of faith is ended. And they see the glory of God. And all of them, their faith is boosted. So what do we make out of all this? Why did Jesus wait like he did? You see, this story isn't alone in the Bible. We see this theme a lot in the Bible. If you want to jump back to Luke 8, and I won't read these sections in here, but in Luke 8, we see this in a few different instances. One, we see it with Jairus' daughter. There's this official that comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, my daughter's sick. Will you come heal her? So Jesus is on his way to heal her. And then he stops and he gets in this ministry situation with a woman who touched the hem of his robe. And he ministers to this woman and heals her. And in that delay, though, the daughter dies. And so, again, we see this trial of faith going on. And Jesus is distracted by this healer. And the guy thinks, well, Jesus kind of messed up. He prioritized this woman. My daughter's dead. Well, oh well. And so we see this trial of faith for him too, because again, Jesus delayed. And in Luke, again in Luke 8, before that, it's not a timing, but we see where, I shared about this at open mic a few weeks back, but Jesus, where he goes, he's in the boat with his, or he's on land with his disciples, and he said, let's go out on the boat, let's cross over to the other side of the lake, guys. So they all get in this boat, and they cross over to the other side of the lake, and Jesus falls asleep in the boat, and the storm comes up. And it's a bad storm. If there's these seasoned veteran fishermen panicking, it's a bad storm. So they're panicking about this storm, and they wake Jesus up and say, Jesus, we're all going to die. And Jesus stands up, and he rebukes the wind and the storm and causes the water to be still. Remember, Jesus was the one that said, let's go out on the lake. Why did Jesus know what was coming, the storm was coming? Was he asleep on purpose, even? Interesting. So he purposely led his disciples into a storm, into a trial of their faith, just like he did with Mary and Martha. And the trial showed and tested that their faith was lacking, just like with Mary and Martha. They didn't fully believe what he was capable of doing. So we see in there that trial. And all of us, I mean, if you think about it, think of trials of faith that you've gone through, that you've endured. I remember when Tracy and I got married, we had many words spoken over us that we were going to have kids. We were going to have lots of kids. But then medical issues came up, and doctors were saying there's a good chance you won't have kids. And then we had somebody speak specific words over us that we'd have kids. Well, we had the doctor saying we might not. Had our first pregnancy. Ooh, answer to prayer. God's awesome. This is where it's going to happen. It was a miscarriage. And so you just get this questioning, and our faith is wondering what's going on. Our faith's on trial. What's going to happen? See, we can't even imagine the trial that Mary and Martha were going through in this section. I mean, they were waiting and waiting for Jesus, who loved them. What's going on? Why did he wait 4 days? And I got to share this just because it's cool. We're probably not going to do the closing song, Seth, but I love you. So why did Jesus wait 4 days? It's interesting, reading into this, there was a lot of evidence and belief among the Jews at the time that after somebody died, a person's spirit would come out of their body and would actually hover over their body for 3 days. And then after that 3 days, decomposition set in, and the spirit would go, "Ooh, not going back in there." And the spirit would go and disappear. And at that point, death became final. Jesus knows these things. Why did he wait 4 days? Isn't that cool? I mean, that's never verified anywhere in the Bible that that actually happens. But Jesus knew what they were thinking. So, man, I could just see him waiting like one more day and this is going to be perfect, perfect timing. Ever been through a trial like that, a trial of your faith? Maybe you're in one right now. Maybe you're in a trial of your faith right now and you can look back in trials of your faith and see where God has come through. Or maybe you're in one right now and you don't understand it. What's going on, God? Why do you have me here? What's going on? Why does God do this? Why does God bring these trials of faith into our life? And it's interesting. Go back to verse 6 with me. Luke 11:6. He says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so he waited." Why does Jesus wait? Why does he lead us into this trial of faith? Because he loves us. Isn't that cool? Because he loves us. What kind of love is that? You see, God cares more about our faith than our comfort or our happiness because he knows what we need so much better than we do. He knows it so much better. He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and because of that love, he waited because he knew that his plan and his timing would result in a greater boost of faith for them as well as all those who witnessed than he could ever provide. Verse 14, again, he says, the disciples are saying, wondering why they're going back after Lazarus has died. And said, Jesus said, "For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." Jesus purposely wasn't there so that Lazarus would die, so that Jesus could come and raise him from the dead, so that they might believe, so that they could have a boost of faith. You know, I mean, Jesus could have gone down immediately and said, disappeared, appeared there, said, "Lazarus, be healed." Lazarus healed, disappears, he's back where he was. He could have done that in an instant. Mary and Martha would have said, "Cool, thanks, Jesus. Did you want a cookie while you're here? No? Okay. Hey, take care. Thanks, man." That could have happened. Jesus could have done that. But what would that have accomplished? Not a lot. Not a lot. But what Jesus did, man, they were like, "Whoa, you are the Son of God." And the end of this, I mean, we see them after this starting to plan Jesus' death because they're seeing, wow. Because at the time for the Jews, they thought bringing somebody back from the dead, that's what God does. That's not what people do. That's what God does. That was an act of a deity. So they knew Jesus bringing him back from the dead, that wasn't anything small. That was the act of a deity, the act of God himself. So the Jews, everybody recognized that. So we see in there, and likewise, we see that in Jairus' daughter, this delay, the daughter dies. Jesus says, "Don't worry, I got this covered." He knew he was going to get delayed. He knew what would happen in that delay. He was never panicked. He never worried. The situation was never out of his control. In fact, it was perfectly in his control, exactly where he wanted it. Because then he came, and he raised that daughter back to life. And he produced a miracle far greater than a healing would have been. Jesus calming the storm. He calmed that storm. The disciples woke him up and he calmed that storm. And they fell down and they worshiped him, declaring, "You are the Son of God." If you would never have led them into that storm, they never would have been able to make that declaration because they never would have seen him bring about the calming of that storm. For us now, I mean, after that first miscarriage, God, where are you? What's going on? Now we've got three healthy, awesome girls, the most beautiful ones in all the world. Sorry to everybody else. We see God's timing is always perfect. It's always planned. Isn't it awesome? God's timing and plan and purpose is amazing. You see, he allows us to go through trials in the short term because Jesus always sees the long-term goal that's out there, and he cares more about our eternal state through faith, which ultimately leads to our place with him in heaven. Faith in him grants us that space in heaven. He cares more about that than our temporal comfort, which is usually what we're caring about. We're like, God, I just want to be comfortable now. Heal Lazarus, take away the problem, and then I'm good. But Jesus says, no, I've got a greater plan and a greater purpose because I want you to believe. I want you to have faith because I want you to live eternally with me in heaven. So in love, God gives us what we need, which is faith. And he doesn't give us always what we want, which is comfort, because God sees the greater need that's out there. And as we wrap up here, I'm going to welcome up the prayer team to come on up. Always make your request known to God in prayer, because God is always up there listening, and he cares. Just like with Mary and Martha, God is always up there. God is always listening. He always cares about the needs that we bring before him. And then trust God, because his answers and his timing are always perfect. And we can have faith because we can know that our God will never be panicked. God will never worry. God is never taken by surprise. We can never say, God, this is my need. And God's like, ah, really? Oh, gee. Oh, no, what are we going to do about that? I don't know what we're going to do. God's never like that. God's like, yeah, I know. God always knows what's out there. We never take him by surprise. What an awesome God that we serve. Even when we think things are completely out of control and we're panicking, he is not, because God knows. His plan is perfect, and his will always be done. You see, Jesus' timing and response is always driven by the glory of God and his love for us, which will allow him to take us through trials at times. He will take us through trials sometimes. If you've been alive, you've experienced that. You will go through trials that ultimately God would be glorified through it, and that our faith would be boosted so we would more fully trust in him. You see, God may allow circumstances to get horrible in your life. He will, sometimes. If it hasn't happened yet, brace yourself. God will allow circumstances in your life to get terrible and horrible. But the greater the need, the greater the miracle that answers that need. And that's what God loves to do. Honestly, he loves to show off, because he loves it when our faith is boosted. Because faith is what pleases him, and faith is what draws us into God's presence. So as we wrap up here and pray, I just want you to think about, what challenges are you facing? What trials of faith are you dealing with right now? And maybe you're not right now. Praise God for that. Enjoy that time. Rest, because they're coming later. Look back on ones he has brought you and rejoice in them. Recognize what God has done and his timing in them, and rejoice in those. Celebrate in those and remember what he has done. And for those who are in trial of faith right now, stop and trust and rest in God. I know it might not be easy, and at times you'll question, why, what's going on? You're in good company. The disciples did the same thing. You're not going to always understand, but trust that God is always in control, and his timing and his response are always perfect, and that his love for you is always present. So trust him in that. Trust him in that, and rest in the awesome God that we serve and in his awesome plans. I want to pray, and as we wrap up afterwards, we'll have the prayer teams up there. If you're going through a trial of the faith again, come up and ask them to pray for you. Ask God to give you insight into what he's doing, to his plans and his purposes. Ask God to give you courage and strength to go through it, because our God will answer. Father, we just thank you that you are so awesome and all your plans and your purposes, Lord. Lord, you always have a purpose and you always have a plan. And we thank you, Lord, that you are always in control and that we can just rest in that, Father God. Even in the midst of our chaos, even in the midst of our doubt and of our fear and of our worry, Lord, thank you that we can just come and rest in your presence and know that you are in control and that you are sovereign. Thank you, Father, for that, and in and through that, Lord, that you are working all things together for your good, for the good of those who love you. And Lord, that in the end that you would be glorified and that our faith would be increased. Father, I pray that for all of us, Father, that you would give us more faith to trust and believe in you and to be able to rest in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the beauty and glory of who you are, Father. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. Come again next week and we'll dig into this again and get some more cool stuff out of it. Thank you, guys.